Emmanuel, God with us. Welcome to this Good Friday service, Good Friday, different kind of night. I hope you came expecting the Spirit to move in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ to speak to you, God to meet you. Two things to talk about very quickly before we move into the main part of our service. We look forward to welcoming you back this Sunday when we will celebrate the resurrection on Easter Sunday. There are three services in this room, one at 8:01, 9:29, and 11:01, and then three in the sanctuary, 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 o'clock. Come, bring a friend. There are cards with some of those instructions in the back on your way out if you'd like to pick one up. Still have time to invite friends and family. And then if you came prepared to give an offering tonight, that would be wonderful. We'll take offering on the way out. There will be some bowls that as you leave this worship space, you can leave in a meditative, reflective state and put your gift in the bowl and just kind of move on out into the cafe area where you can then start up your conversations. But we'll ask you when we leave tonight to just leave in kind of the spirit of the evening. Good Friday is a strange, wonderful, beautiful, and terrible night. TJ's going to talk a little bit about why we call it good. But it wasn't a surprise to God. Hundreds of years before, when Israel was in turmoil, and when they were distraught and they had lost their way, they had lost the light, God sent these people, these prophets, the covenant enforcers of Israel, to come alongside and speak truth to the kings and the rulers and the priests. And so we've lost our way. And gradually over time, after repeated turnings from God, the prophets began to talk about a future time when God would do something amazing, something powerful. He would bring a leader. He would bring a Messiah. Tonight we'll look at Good Friday through the eyes of the prophets. Would you pray with me? Spirit of the living God, you hovered over the face of the deep at creation. You moved through your children Israel. You spoke through the prophets. And then you brought your Son, who came to a focal point in his life on that first Good Friday, almost 2,000 years ago. But we believe that by the power of your Spirit, he is in this room, ready and willing to meet us wherever we are, to challenge, to confront, to comfort, to forgive. Lord, open us up, open our hearts, our minds, our souls, touch our bodies with your presence and your love in Jesus' name. Amen.
So the prophet Micah says this in chapter 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past, I
Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Would you read with me? He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of sorrows and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down, and we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be made whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. He was beaten. He was tortured. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter and like a sheep being sheared. Justice miscarried, and he was let off. He died without a thought for his own welfare. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. He looked death in the face and didn't flinch because he embraced the company of the lowest. Thank you, Jesus.
Scandal of grace.
sing it out to Him. It's all.
Friday. This is a day when we remember Jesus' crucifixion and death. Ever wondered why we call it Good Friday? I mean, did Hallmark take over this holiday as well and put a positive spin on it? But seriously, why do we call it Good Friday? The events that happened on this day were bad. Betrayal, lying, injustice, evil, cruelty, suffering, violence, death. Sounds kind of like it could have been taken out of the headlines of today's news, doesn't it? Or maybe even it might have been taken out of the headlines of what's going on in your life. I've heard from so many people that they're going through a difficult time in their life right now. And if you're going through a difficult time in your life, I want you to know that you're not alone. I also want you to know Jesus understands. This was a difficult week for Jesus. And I find comfort knowing that Jesus understands what it's like to go through some really difficult times. Still, why do we call it good? Tonight, I want to look with you at two things that can make this Friday a good Friday for all of us. First, it fulfilled prophecy. As Pastor Glenn mentioned, hundreds of years before Jesus, God promised that a Messiah, a Savior, would come who would suffer on our behalf. We heard examples of that in our opening readings from Micah and from Isaiah about the suffering servant. And I want to add another example to the mix from Psalm 22. You're probably familiar with the opening line of Psalm 22, even if you don't know where it comes from. I'll read it for you. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? Where have you heard that before? Jesus said that on the cross. Here's Matthew's version from Matthew 27:46. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken? You're all Hebrew scholars and you didn't even know it. Jesus was quoting from Psalm 22. I want to read a couple more verses from Psalm 22, just so that you get a sense of the striking connection. Psalm 22:16, a band of evil men has encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Now from Mark 15:24, and they crucified Jesus, piercing his hands and feet, dividing up his clothes. They cast lots to see what each would get. Psalm 22:7-8. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him since he delights in him. That's Psalm 22. But now from Matthew 27. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. A couple more. Psalm 22:15. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my dry tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Now from John 19. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. One more from Psalm 22:14. I am poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart was turned to wax. It has melted away within me. And now from John 19. But when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced Jesus' side with a spear, bringing a sudden flow of blood and water. Jesus quotes the first line of Psalm 22 so that we would make the connection. God kept his word. God fulfilled his promise. The Savior had come. Jesus is the one who would save us by suffering on our behalf. But what makes this so good for us is that this fulfilled prophecy is filled full with promise. Psalm 22, it starts on a bad note, but midway it shifts in a positive direction. Psalm 22:24, for he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but had listened to his cry for help. Jesus knew his heavenly Father wouldn't ignore his cries for help. He knew his heavenly Father wouldn't abandon him to the grave. In fact, many times before, Jesus prophesied, predicted that on the third day, he would be raised to new life. And Jesus knew his death and resurrection would bring good news for all the world. One more scripture from Psalm 22. This one's a little bit longer, but it's powerful. Verses 26 to 31. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families, the nations, will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done it. It's as if Jesus wants us to know it's Friday, but Sunday is coming. He knew he was going to do something that would be spoken of from generation to generation to generation. He would reign victorious over evil and death. And from that point on, all would be able to turn to him for help, hope, and life. This good news is amplified in the suffering servant passage we heard from Isaiah 53. I'm going to just share a short part of it one more time. Isaiah 53:4-5. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. This fulfilled prophecy is filled full with promise. If you doubted ever for a moment that God loves you, I don't know of a more concrete way for God to show just how much he really does love you. Because Jesus came to take our iniquities, to carry our sorrows. He bore the punishment for our wrongs so that we could be forgiven and have peace with God. He was wounded so that we could be healed and renewed. He died so we could have new life and live forever. What a good Savior. No wonder they said in the psalm that people will praise him. And I know it's Good Friday and we're supposed to be somber, but just for a moment, could we give Jesus some praise for today? Some bad things happened on that Friday, but we can call it Good Friday because it fulfilled prophecy and it was filled full of promise. And I guess the determining factor on whether or not we can call this good is whether or not we turn to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because if you came in here tonight carrying heavy burdens and heavy sorrows, you have a Savior who wants to carry those and carry you in his big, strong hands. If you came in here tonight with sin in your life and you feel guilt, shame, or regret, you have a Savior who bore the punishment for your sin so that you could be forgiven. Your slate could be clean and you could have peace with God again. If you came in here tonight needing healing, if you came in here tonight broken, you have a Savior whose wounds can heal you like nothing else from the inside out. And if you came in here this evening mourning the loss of a loved one, or maybe even facing your own mortality, you have a Savior who conquered death and offers the hope of eternal life. So I guess the factor of whether we call this good or not, it all depends on whether or not we turn to Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Because when we do turn to Jesus, then it is a good Friday indeed. I want to give you a moment to reflect on this good news and how God might be calling you to respond. And then I'll close us in prayer. God, your love for us is scandalous. It's overwhelming. And sometimes it's hard to call this day good because we know how much you suffered and how much you sacrificed. But we can call it good because we know that you fulfilled prophecy and that this day is filled with promise, promise of hope, promise of healing, promise of strength, promise of forgiveness, promise of new life with you now and forevermore. And so today we respond to your love. We turn to you as the only one who can be our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for what you've done. And we ask you to be our light our hope, our help through all the challenges and struggles that we face. And God, may we be so inspired by this act of love that just like you, we might show love to others and share the good news of a Savior who loved us so much that he went to the cross and gave his life so that we might find true life in him. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, Sunday is coming, and we hope that you can come back and worship with us. But it's still Friday, and we're still left to grapple with who this man was, what he did, and what it means.
Stay safe.
Where'd the body go?
We gotta stick together.
What happened to him?
I just saw him as well.
I don't understand.
He gave me the living water. And now he's gone now.
We gotta see this through.
Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it.